This episode of the Side Hustle Project is brought to you by FreshBooks, cloud accounting and invoicing software for freelancers, solopreneurs, and side hustlers. I've personally used FreshBooks as my go-to invoicing software since day one with my freelance business, even back when I was freelancing on the side of my day job. And as my business has grown over the years, so has FreshBooks. You can now create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds, accept online payments from your clients, and much, much more. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to listeners of The Side Hustle Project. To claim your free trial, just go to freshbooks.com/Ryan and enter The Side Hustle Project in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. Throughout this first season, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Chris Guillebeau, multi-New York Times best-selling author of four books, including The $100 Startup. Over the past 10 years, Chris has been to every country in the world and still travels to more than 20 each year. He's an active speaker for companies like Google and Facebook. He also hosts an annual conference of his own called World Domination Summit with guests ranging from Brené Brown to Derek Sivers, Michael Hyatt, and more. Chris has recently embarked upon a new adventure this year, the Side Hustle School, which features a daily podcast, workshops, and community. In today's episode, we're digging into how Chris got started in the world of business and what it takes to become a best-selling author. We're talking about why everyone needs to have a side hustle and what your first steps to getting started should be. Chris also gives his best piece of advice for building a community around your idea and getting to your first 100 customers. All this and much more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Chris Guillebeau. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Dude, it's a big honor. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's get into it. So real quick, can you take us back to the very beginning and talk maybe a little bit about what you did before becoming a best-selling author, online educator, all these titles?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess it all depends on like where you want to start. But let's go back to like immediately before that. So immediately before that, I was an aid worker living in West Africa for about 4 years on a hospital ship. And the whole time I was there, I was also kind of moonlighting, doing like small business stuff back in the States. And so I kind of supported myself through the side hustle lifestyle, essentially, and moved back to Seattle, Washington, did a grad school program there, continued to start little businesses. And, you know, after a while, it was like, okay, I've done all these things, but what is the unifying, you know, topic? What is, how do all this stuff come together? And so that's when I started The Art of Nonconformity, the blog, on my 30th birthday, and began this quest, or officially began the quest, to go to every country in the world. And I just started writing, you know, from there, and everything kind of built. And it wasn't like a big strategic plan. It was just like every day I'm working on this and going to make this my focus. And I was committed to it. And fortunately, I had a great community that came along, and that made all the difference.
Awesome. So, right. So you built sort of a community around this blog. And before you actually started writing your book, how would you say you went about validating the idea that people would actually want a full-on book on this subject?
Yeah, sure. I mean, great question. I would say two things. Like the first book, The Art of Nonconformity, I don't know that I necessarily did like go out and validate the idea. Like for me, it was my dream. It was like, I want to write a book. So, you know, do I know that there's a demand for that or not? Well, I don't know. I've never written a book before, right? So I think it's okay to like follow your dream if it's not like, you know, perfectly validated or whatever. But I would say like, you know, from then on, like I have the blog, I have the book, the community is coming together. You know, from then on, I'm using kind of the power of observation and just listening, you know, listening to stories, listening to trying to identify what the felt needs are. And for the $100 startup in particular, kind of what I identified, and I certainly wasn't the only one to identify it, but I did kind of notice that there were all these people who had these stories of becoming accidental entrepreneurs, who didn't go to business school, who didn't go down this traditional, you know, path of being an entrepreneur or business owner. And nobody was really telling their stories because all of the entrepreneurship material, education, resources was very much focused on a different kind of model, on a Silicon Valley startup, angel investor kind of thing, which is great for lots of people. But I guess I felt like this is an unidentified or at least an untargeted or untapped market. So for me, it was like hearing these stories from different people and then digging deeper and kind of following up and saying, okay, well, are these people everywhere? Yes, they are. Are there another, is there another large group of people who wants to be like this group of people, right? Which is critical. Yes, of course. So how can we facilitate that? And I'm not a journalist, so I don't want to just describe a phenomenon. I want to actually like look at the phenomenon and say, okay, how can we replicate that? Like, how can we learn and adapt and apply that to our own way? So that was kind of like the early process.
I like that. So a lot of our students in this course are going through the process of wanting to build websites, apps, SaaS tools, things of that nature. And so maybe outside of the context of the traditional validation, MVP, startup world, when you think about validation, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked it that way, because I'm sure you're probably going to have some other guests who are far more scientific than me or quantitative, and that's great. Like, if you have that mindset and you know how to do that, I think that you can be successful with it. I guess for me, I've tried to just kind of approach things a bit more philosophically. And like when I first built the community, it wasn't organized around a demographic. It wasn't organized around like this specific group of people, you know, who meets these criteria. It was very much values based. And you know, the whole movement was about nonconformity. And then how is that expressed? It's expressed in different ways, you know, through travel, through entrepreneurship, et cetera. What are then, you know, the needs of those people? And then how can we meet them? So for me, that's kind of, when you say, like, what does validation mean? Am I providing something that people really want, right? Because when I look back over like the 8 years of the different things I've built, I can kind of see like a direct correlation, success, failure. And these things are always relative, you know, but like how much is the success, how much is the failure? I can see this correlation between like when I'm really making something that people do truly want versus, you know, I thought it might be a good idea and maybe some people wanted it, but it clearly wasn't like a big hit or something.
I like that. So fast forwarding to now, something that I love how much you've been talking about lately is the importance of starting a side hustle, which I'm assuming has been part of that natural progression with your audience, listening to them.
Yeah.
Hearing what they need.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, so the funny thing about this, like this came about last year. I mean, I've been writing about side hustles for, you know, 8 years, but I decided to really, really kind of go all in and focus on it because last year I had a book called Born for This out. I did a 30-city tour, and at every stop I'd give like this little stump speech for like half an hour, and I would talk about side hustles for maybe 2 minutes of that stump speech, and like 50% of the questions afterwards were always about that. Like, I want a side hustle. I don't necessarily want to be an entrepreneur in all quotes. I don't want to quit my job. And I just kind of, you know, speaking of unidentified markets or untapped markets, I just kind of began to realize like there's a lot of people out there who don't necessarily want to kind of, you know, follow this dream of like, here's my passion, I'm going to build a business around it, et cetera. But, you know, they do want more than one source of income. Like, they do recognize like the security that comes from that and the backup plan and the opportunities that that presents and all that. So for me, it was kind of like, okay, how can I, you know, do something that is directly targeting those folks, which is different than what I've done before because I haven't had like a direct target market in mind for most of my stuff. But I think the specificity of that has been helpful. And I just kind of decided, like I said, to go all in with it. And so that's why the daily podcast, that's why the book in the fall, the workshop series, other kind of stuff, because I really want to give it a chance to succeed.
I like that. So sort of on that note of building a side hustle, what would you typically advise people towards making those very first steps that would signify validation or solid progress?
Yeah. So I think people who haven't done a hustle before, or just kind of getting into entrepreneurship, they suffer from one of two problems, and they're really common. And the first problem is if you don't have an idea, or you're like, well, I want to do something, but I don't know what I would possibly do. And then the second problem is like, I've got a bunch of ideas. Or I've got an idea, but I don't know how to make that idea happen. And so kind of what I'm trying to craft with Side Hustle School is addressing both of those issues and like, okay, how do you come up with ideas? We come up with ideas. I use that phrase, the power of observation. If you can begin to think like through daily life about problems and, you know, gaps and things that frustrate you and things that bother you or things that you're particularly good at and these things that you find yourself in a flow state where it comes naturally to you, but other people kind of struggle with it. You start thinking about this, you'll begin to get a lot of ideas, and over time, you learn to kind of refine them you know, see which one is better, compare and contrast, et cetera. So then now you've got the ideas. Then the whole next part is, okay, you know, how do we go from idea to action? And what is the quickest way to do it? What is the easiest way to do it? You know, I don't use a whole lot of like startup-y phrases, but I do like the minimum viable product idea. I do like this concept of like, what can we do within 30 days to get this up? Even if I'm not a programmer, I'm not a designer, there's got to be a way to make this happen. And then that for me is the test. You know, for me, the test is like the real world experience. I don't actually do like all this like lab stuff, like, you know, 8 different ideas out there and we'll see what, you know, I just kind of, if I believe in something, I'm going to try it and I may fall on my face, but I'm going to be more excited about that than I would be if it's like in some non-real world situation.
So let's talk about what exactly it looks like when you're finally putting something out there into the world. What would you say is sort of like your definition of a proof of concept, maybe even just examples of things that you put out yourself before building polished solutions?
Yeah, before building polished solutions. Okay, myself. See, I don't really think of most of my stuff as polished, like when it first goes out, you know, it's definitely like this art of refinement and engagement with people. But maybe I could use this example of what I'm starting, you know, basically right now, essentially, because it is kind of new. You know, the Daily Podcast began on January 1, and I was actually working on it for like 4 or 5 months beforehand. And so maybe 4 or 5 months ago was when I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to, you know, really go in all in on this side hustle concept. And I know I'm going to write a book about it because I'm an author. That's what I do. So I know that process. I'm very familiar with that. But then when I started thinking about, okay, what's a different medium? What's a different format? Okay, I should do a podcast. Well, I'm about 10 years too late for that, right? Like I'm catching up to 2005 with my podcast. So I didn't want to do like a general chat show. I don't want like the Chris Gillibo show. Like I want something that's really specific. So what would that be, you know? And so then I started thinking about, okay, what's the market, side hustles, you know, who are the people I'm trying to reach? Well, they're really busy. Like the people I'm trying to reach, they already work a full-time job. Some of them work 2 jobs. You know, they have families, they got responsibilities. So it can't be like this 45-minute, you know, show. Plus I don't really like all these like interview shows that it's always kind of the same questions over and over. And like, there's plenty of people doing that already. So I'm kind of like tracing my steps here, you know, for you, for better or worse. And so then I'm like, okay, short format, no guests. I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to tell stories of people who've done this. So I'm going to build out the case studies and look at their examples and talk about their mistakes and their successes and how much money they made, like really specific. And somewhere in that process, I hit on the idea of 1 episode every day. Let's do it like 365 days for a year, which was of course kind of crazy, but I liked it. So the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, this is the way to do it. Because I'm going to be motivated by that. And I think some people will like it. I think some people will hate it, for sure. It's definitely not for everyone, but I do feel it's going to find like a home with a certain group, you know, of those people. And so, I mean, from then it's just like logistics. From then it's like, okay, how do you produce a podcast? Never done that before. Okay, here's all these different elements. Here's what I might be able to do myself. Here's what I'm going to need some help with, you know. And then I'm just kind of working it out, scripting it out, trying to script out 40 days in advance. Trying to figure out, okay, what happens after it goes out and I need to find, you know, 310 more stories, 320 more stories, you know, for the rest of the year. So this is kind of my thought process of like, you know, what needs to be done? How can I make it happen? It's not that complicated, but I think for me, it's always like, you know, one thing at a time, what comes next?
Hey guys, this is Ryan. What Chris just said was very subtle, but actually really important. He said that he's personally going to be motivated by doing a daily podcast for a full year. He thinks some people will like it, that some people will hate it, but that people who really like it are probably going to love it and become loyal listeners. This right here is a very common trait that's hardwired into entrepreneurs. It's a perfect example of taking a stand for something you feel very strongly about and trusting that your intense dedication to your mission and the people who share that mission will eventually bring you your desired results. Sure, you may have to grow, adapt, and change along the way, but if you win the hearts and minds of even a small, dedicated group of people, you can achieve anything with them. Up next, after this short break from our sponsor, Chris and I are talking about how he builds those highly engaged communities around his books, podcast, courses, and more. Stay tuned. This episode of the Side Hustle Project is brought to you by FreshBooks, cloud accounting and invoicing software for freelancers, solopreneurs, and side hustlers. As you know, I personally use FreshBooks to do the invoicing for my freelance business. And the reason why I've stuck with FreshBooks for so long is because I hate dealing with the accounting side of running my business. I'm just not a numbers person, and I'd rather spend my time doing what I do best, which is getting results for my clients. And that's where FreshBooks really comes into play for me. Their completely redesigned suite of tools range from invoice customization to analytics and insights that show when your clients are actually viewing your invoices. The ability to easily take upfront deposits for new projects, accept online payments, and much, much more. Getting started is extremely simple, even if you're not a numbers person. Actually, especially if you're not a numbers person. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to listeners of The Side Hustle Project. To claim your free trial, just go to freshbooks.com/Ryan and enter The Side Hustle Project in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to our interview with Chris Guillebeau. Before the break, we were talking about the importance of having a clear mission and sticking to what you believe in. Now we're examining how Chris uses that to go about building communities around his ideas. Once you now have this thing out in the world, how do you start building an audience around it? How do you start connecting with people to make sure it's something they actually need? And so I want to try and frame this in the context of getting your first 100 listeners, subscribers, readers, because not everyone has 150,000 Twitter followers.
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, nobody's even, who's really listening on Twitter anyway? You know, that's the thing about social media. There's a lot of people with a lot of followers that they're just kind of like talking to themselves. So, you know, I would say this kind of comes down to like the no plan survives contact with the battlefield, you know, metaphor, because, you know, you have this grand vision and, you know, you've worked on it for a long time. And then you put it out, and it's probably going to change, you know, after that, because you're going to get feedback you didn't expect. You're going to see a response you didn't expect. It might be positive, might be negative, might be some of both. So I guess in my case, like even with this show, like you said, I have like Twitter followers, but I really did very little, you know, pre-launch or hype or anything for it. I just kind of started. I wanted to see, you know, what would happen. But if people have zero followers, here's what I would say. Like you still have people in your life. Like maybe you don't have like this number of people next to your social media profile or something, but pretty much everybody has a Facebook account. Everybody has friends. Everybody has people they went to school with. Everybody has some, you know, contacts and second degree contacts. I just start kind of reaching out to those people and not really, you know, pitching or selling, but just like, hey, I'm making this thing. You want to check it out? Do you know somebody it might be good for? You know, and then that's exactly how I started Art of Nonconformity, you know, 8 years ago. So you start with who you know. And you try to grow from there, and I mean, you try to, you know, focus on the core message and not get too distracted from it, but also be open to kind of evolution as things go along.
So, have you had any projects that maybe you've started working on or validation tests, however you think of them, that have completely imploded in a bad way?
Yeah. Completely imploded might be a little extreme. Definitely had some things that have not worked as well as I would have liked them to. You know, I had this project Unconventional Guides for a number of years. I still have it. I'm just not actively doing anything with it. And that was a great example of, you know, how I learned, like, if I really got the need right and met the need with the right, you know, answer, solution, then it would do well. And if I didn't, then it wouldn't. And so there were a couple of projects I did a publishing guide with my literary agent, and it's probably one of the best guides that we produced. And I felt like it really, you know, provided good answers to people who wanted to write books, which is a big market. And everyone who bought it liked it, but not a lot of people bought it. And I never really figured out why, you know, I just kind of moved on to something else, you know, and that's what I do. So, and I've had that experience a few different times. A few things surprised me in positive ways, and other things that I really thought were going to be hits weren't. But to me, that's why there's different approaches. You know, there is like this very scientific approach, and there's more of like a, you might call this like a Seth Godin approach, and not quite as extreme as he is, but his model is just like, I just put out like a whole bunch of stuff, right? And we see what happens, you know? And if you look at his career, like all the stuff that he's done, it really is spectacular, because he has a lot of big failures and he's very like, you know, open about that. He owns it, but he obviously also has like these huge successes. So for him, there was no testing. It was just like, I'm going to do a bunch of stuff and see what resonates.
So the examples you mentioned that were, I guess you could call them mini failures, or at least they didn't meet your expectations.
Sure.
How do you know when you should throw the towel on something, pivot, move on to something different? And then did those projects fuel what came later?
Yeah. Well, I am a big fan of giving up on things. And this is something also I talked about in the last book, because I noticed this is like somehow we've had this thing embedded in our culture, you know, American manifest destiny, you know, pioneering culture, which has lots of good values. I think one of the maybe negative things is this idea that's been instilled that persistence is the predictor of success. And like, you know, if at first you don't succeed, you know, just keep going. And so in that last book, I did a lot of research and looked at people who quit. And what I saw is like winners quit all the time. You know, winners are not afraid to like walk away from something. And most people who are successful, they've actually gone down lots of different paths in their life. It's not like they knew from a young age, this is what I'm going to be. There are very few people like that. Most people have actually been willing to abandon lots of stuff. So as to know, like when you do that, I mean, again, for me, it's a little bit intuitive, but you can ask yourself two questions. Like, is this thing working? Like, is it getting the response that I wanted? And am I still excited about it? Right? Am I still motivated? And do I believe in it? And so if it's working and you're excited about it, great. Then you keep doing it. And if it's not working anymore and you don't believe in it, then you stop. And so you only have to look a little bit deeper if it's, you know, the thing is not working, but you still believe in it. Okay. Maybe you have to tweak how you do it.
So, Chris, I want to be mindful of your time. I have just one last question for you. Sure. When it comes to validating an idea, what do you think is the best investment you've ever made? And that could be financial products, tools, services, or it could be time investment, energy, otherwise.
Yeah, that's a very smart question. I don't think anybody's ever asked that before. For me, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be a financial investment. Again, I'm sure other people have done like really invested in surveys and things. I'm sure that's helpful. Okay, I have an answer. Let's say my first book tour, when I had a little, you know, trade paper book paperback out and nobody knew who I was, and I wanted to do a book tour, and my publisher's like, we don't have money for that, you know. So I did my own book tour to all 50 states, and it was like collectively organized by my readers, you know, self-funded basically. And that was probably the greatest thing I ever did, because I got feedback everywhere I went. Right, everywhere I went, I'm meeting lots of different people, and not just people in like the West Coast and New York, which is great, of course, but I'm meeting people like all across America and then every province in Canada too. So that to me was an investment in learning much more about my community and learning what problems they had that I might be able to provide solutions to. And I think if I hadn't done that, I don't think I'd be doing, you know, what I'm doing now, at least not at the level that I'm doing it at.
Cool. Well, Chris, thank you again. Do you want to take a moment and share with our audience where they can learn more about you, find out more about your projects and track you
online? Sure. Well, I'm happy to help if anybody has questions or whatever. I'm chrisgillibeau.com, Chris Gillibeau on most social, or you can go to sidehustleschool.com to learn about the new show. It's also on iTunes, Side Hustle School.
All right. Thank you again.
Thanks.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. And one more thing before you go. I want to give a special thanks again to FreshBooks, our sponsor for this episode of the Side Hustle Project, for making this possible. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial of their cloud accounting and invoicing software to listeners of the Side Hustle Project. To claim your free trial, just go to freshbooks.com/Ryan and enter the Side Hustle Project in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thanks for tuning in.